Happy Mother's Day weekend to all of our moms. God bless you, moms. We love you. We appreciate you. On your way in, I hope you received a flower just to as a token of our love and our deep appreciation for you. Let's just bless our moms this evening. Would you just put your hands together with me and let's just tell our moms how much we love them, how much we appreciate them. We are extremely blessed to have our friends, Pastor David and Beth Grant, with us this evening. Pastor David and Beth are the founders of Project Rescue, which is an extraordinary ministry that is rescuing children, young women, young boys all around the world, rescuing them out of sex slavery. How the ministry started was they began ministering to prostitutes in the red light districts in several major cities in India, and the prostitutes said to them, you know, we can't leave the brothels, but the children that have been born to us, they can go. Would you take our children out of here? And that's how they got started in this work. Project Rescue has over 500 volunteers that are working in 8 different countries. We've had the privilege of twice visiting in New Delhi, boys and girls home where some of these children who have been rescued out of the brothels. And I have to tell you, when you hear their stories, it just breaks your heart. But when you see the transformed lives, when you see the joy, when you see the peace and the hopefulness on these children's faces, what they have come out of, and the hope that Christ has given them for the future, it's just an amazing, wonderful, wonderful thing. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service this evening to sow into the ministry of Project Rescue. One of the new things that Beth and David are working on is they are planting churches in the red light districts, and they're going in and right in those places. They're starting churches right in the middle, and the Lord is just doing amazing things. David's going to tell us a lot more about that. Beth is an executive presbyter for our denomination, the Assemblies of God. She's the first woman executive presbyter in our denomination. She's also an adjunct professor at the Assemblies of God Seminary, and she teaches in some of our theological institutions around the world. They have both authored several books, and those are out on the table. David's going to tell you more about them. But I'm wondering if you would, I know you're just got seated and settled, but would you stand up and would you just give your very best harvest time welcome for our friends, David and Beth Grant.
Thank you. God bless y'all. Saturday night, welcome. What a joy. It is a joy to be back at harvest time. Beth and I enjoyed the ladies' luncheon today and the dozen men who were there. I think we had about 190 ladies and dozen men, and it was wonderful, just wonderful. I'm so glad we're here this weekend, Mother's Day. Special weekend. I'm going to show a video in just a second of Project Rescue, and then we'll move forward. But I want to talk about mothers for a moment. My mother passed away 3 years ago at the age of 90. My dad passed away, I think, 6 years ago at the age of 90. They had pastored for 68 years. And my mother was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman of God. Raised 5 children and 15 grandchildren and a bunch of great-grandchildren. And on the day of her passing, she told her doctor, she said, I'm going to heaven today. Don't slow me down. It was a wonderful passing. It's one of those moments when you slip over from this life into the real life. And I was sitting beside her for a few minutes, and I got to hear her saying, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. So the last words in her mouth was, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Mother's Day. And I miss her greatly. because in 47 years I've been traveling in India. My last phone call when I would get on the plane for the just before I left for India would be to Mom. My first phone call back was to be to Mom. And then, of course, when Beth and I married, we were together. And then we would call Beth's mom. And now it's kind of like, whom do you call? But it's also a great joy to know she is free of pain and free of that. She was so ready to go for several weeks before she went. And she's told me, she said, I'm just really angry at Jesus because I've asked him to release me and he hasn't taken me yet. I am ready to go. I thought, what a wonderful thing that you don't dread. You look forward to slipping into the new world. Praise God. Tonight, I pray that this weekend, God will speak peace and joy and direction, provision and protection for your life and for your family. Let's be sensitive to what God will do both tonight and tomorrow, because this is a very special weekend. Now, I'm going to show you really a heartbreaking video. It's hard to tell the story of what we're going to try to tell the story of tonight, because it's a very dark, but God calls us to dark places to turn them into places of light. So we'll show the video right now, and then I'll come back and preach.
Sexual exploitation has been with us for thousands of years. Globalization has only escalated this horrendous evil.
We are now at a point in the world where every single nation is involved in some way with sex trafficking of women and children.
The Spanish police say that 90% of the people who are arriving on boats as refugees from Africa are actually victims of human trafficking.
500,000 is the estimated number of women that come in annually are trafficked into Europe and forced into prostitution.
Every tourist spot in the world has a dark side people don't see.
So our world is the dark places where most people have given up. Our goal is, through Jesus, to reach out to the whole system where you transform people's lives and give them hope and bring about a revolution of justice. So people say to us, does Project Rescue do raids? We say, no, we do relationships. A raid, you only do one time. But a relationship is that you go into the brothels, you establish Bible studies, you go in and establish prayer and show them there's a way out.
If we just take a woman physically out of the brothel to a safe place, that's only the beginning of rescue. Until she is free, body, mind, and spirit, to make new choices, to become the woman of God she was created to be, the job's only half done.
Life-changing aftercare is the most intense part of the healing process. It requires medical, physical, and emotional support, as well as education and vocational training. But these are not enough. Prostituted women and children need spiritual freedom and a new identity that can only come through Jesus Christ.
You don't go to the core issue, and if Christ doesn't come in and heal that woman's soul, then she's going to go back.
When we first interview a woman that's in that situation, she doesn't have any self-worth. She can't even lift up her head and look at you in the eyes.
I felt a sense of urgency that I need to move there like my daughters. I'm not going to wait for anybody else to decide or have a meeting.
In the scripture it says, if any woman, man, child be in Christ, they're a new creation. So that promise isn't just about, okay, we're going to get you into a better place. Over time, as she experiences God's truth about herself, you're not a prostitute. No, you're a daughter of God.
Project Rescue. Hope starts here.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hope starts here. Tonight is a night of hope. I'm so glad my wife is here. She spoke today, and we were just at the New York District Council the last 3 days. It's a joy to have Beth here, and she is an amazing preacher. And I'm proud that Mother's Day we're together. Our younger daughter, Jennifer, and her husband, Jonathan, and two of our granddaughters just landed at Boston Airport a few minutes ago. Our son-in-law is from Boston, and they're up visiting his grandmother this weekend. So that's a joy to us. They landed safely in Boston a few minutes ago. And then on June the 10th, our older daughter and her husband, Tyler, and our two grandchildren who live in India, and they will be arriving back on furlough. June 10. So my wife and I have been happily married for 40 years. It's absolutely wonderful. And I carry in my Bible a photograph of our wedding. And you're welcome to see it after the service. 40 years ago, I weighed 125 pounds. I've really been blessed. I don't weigh that anymore. But Beth is not only a wonderful preacher and teacher and leader, but she's a wonderful mother. And I celebrate with our two daughters Beth's life and ministry. And she's a wonderful grandmother. I've got to be very careful because in the last 4 years, my preaching has changed so drastically. When grandchildren come along, it's something wonderful. My father was an old-fashioned preacher. He raised five children with one philosophy. Boys, you got the devil in you, and we're going to get him out of you. We will either pray him out of you or we'll beat him out of you. But he will go. He will go. So we grew up strict. 15 grandchildren came along who could do no wrong. They could burn the house down, and my dad would be going, "Wow, ain't that something? Never seen anything like that, did you?" And he was always taking their side against us. Come to Papa. You mean Daddy. He don't know what he's doing. And, you know, I think, Dad, you know, and then when our grandchildren were born, I know the same feeling. My brilliant two daughters have no idea how to raise a kid. And I have to take a hand. I have to get involved because otherwise then they would be, you know, it would be sad. Papa's and Mimi, we kind of stand in the gap and say it's not that bad. It's not that bad, in fact. So it's a wonderful thing. So don't get me off on grandkids. Because that is a wonderful chapter, incredible chapter. The wonderful thing about Scripture is that it is the Father speaking to us through His Word. And the Scripture I want us to focus on tonight is John chapter 14 and verse 1, 2, and 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over. I'm an underliner. I'm a highlighter. I write in the margins. I'm always adding wonderful thoughts and so I don't forget it. But we also have it up on the screen. And I would love for you to read it with me, slowly and reverently. Shall we do it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The second part, I go to prepare a place for you. And my goal tonight is to talk about just one word, place. Where is my place? Do I have a place? Is there a place for me? A place, a place, a place. Sometimes even in church, we have a favorite seat. And we say, well, we sit on that place. I have my place. Where is your place in God? And first of all, for those who've heard me before, I want to repeat a few stories. One is, I found my place at 12 years of age. I grew up as a preacher's kid with a lot of fear in my life. This scripture is so important to me. Let not your heart be troubled. I was a troubled child. My father's sermons brought fear in my life. He was a great preacher, but he preached a lot on the rapture. Jesus is coming tonight at midnight, and nobody's going. For straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and nobody finds it. Two shall be in the bed, neither will go. Two will be at the well, neither will make it. I mean, he would scare us to death. Are you sure you're ready? The only hope he gave us was if you will come to the altar right now, you might have a chance. And we fill the altar every service because we were never sure. There was always a fear that something we had done would show up at the last moment. I would come in from school and walk in the house and call, Mama! If she didn't answer, my heart stopped. They're gone! And I'm left. I lived with a lot of fear and uncertainty. And I went to the altar a lot. Finally, at the age of 12, I found a scripture that says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Jesus, I have called 150 times. And you saved me a long time ago, but my fears kept me from confidence. But I am weary of this roller coaster emotion. I have called, you have answered, and I am saved. That was 12 years old. Another thing happened when I was 12 years old. I'll come to it for just a moment. But my dad preached very strict. He preached against television. He said, television is like a commode sitting in your living room, flushing sewage in the minds of your children. So we had to go to the deacon's house to watch TV. And when the kids in the neighborhood got together to play games, the only game we knew how to play was church. Because that's the only place we ever went was church. And I was the neighborhood preacher from the age of 6. Our cat died. We put him in a shoebox and had a wonderful funeral, and I preached him right into heaven. It was so good, we dug him up the next day and did it all over again. The third day we dug him up, and Mama caught us. She said, bury that cat and leave him in peace. We cried because we heard a cat had 9 lives. And then Dad had his huge garden and all kind of animals, and we had a dozen chickens, and Sunday night was a water baptismal service, and Monday morning my brother said to me, the chickens aren't going to heaven, they have been baptized. Well, I was an activist, you know, as a child, and I said, I will baptize the chickens. We couldn't find the water, but Dad had a big container of gasoline beside the house. Dad came home and shouted, who killed the chickens? We said, we didn't kill them. We baptized them, and God took them to heaven. That was my childhood. Missions was a big part of my dad's life. He loved missions. He was a generous man. He loved to give, and he loved to give to missions especially. He loved missions. And 5 children learned to give. Giving is modeled. Mother's Day, Father's Day is not just celebration days. It's days when you reevaluate, how am I influencing my children, my grandchildren, my brothers, my sisters? And now these days, it's almost how am I influencing my parents? Beth's wonderful mother, Eleanor, lives with us. We're gone most of the time, but she's in our home. She's 93, still drives, church every Sunday. She's an incredible, wonderful, 93, wow. And it's just a joy to have her with us. Out of the four parents, she's the only one who have left, and we rejoice. And we'll be calling her tonight and tomorrow, wishing her a wonderful Mother's Day and celebrating when we get back to town. It is a joy to have that kind of role models in one's life, a joy. My dad loved missions, and all five of us kids have a heart for missions, giving, going, participating, believing. And all of this comes back to this scripture. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, in recent versions, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Another version says, there's lots of room in my Father's house. And that's my message tonight for you. There's a place for you in Father's house. There's a place that God has reserved for you. It's your place. You have a place. Not only a room, but your place at the table. A place at the table. My dad is one of those generous, friendly people who meets everybody and brings everybody home. My mother has always been a wonderful cook, and she always had enough food on the stove that anybody that Dad brought in the door, there was enough food. My dad never called, never said, I'm bringing a family in. He just simply walked in the door going, Bonnie, look who's here! And my mother would smile. And she always had enough soup. There was always enough beans. There was always enough cornbread. There was always enough. And there was never a shortage or a feeling of being inconvenienced when somebody dropped by. There was always room at the table. Bring in the piano bench. We need two more spots. And I remember when a heavyset evangelist sat on that piano bench and it disappeared. Not totally disappeared. It just was no longer upright. There was always, I remember a funny, please forgive my humor stories. I remember we had a huge plate of fried chicken. And so we had this visiting minister, and Dad asked me to pray. He prayed a long sermon, a long prayer. And he finished praying, opened his eyes, and all the chicken was gone. And so the next time, He finished praying, or he was praying, and while his eyes were still closed, he took his fork and reached for the fried chicken, and he got a fork in his hand. I mean, one of my brothers stuck him because my brother was already reaching for the chicken. We had humorous moments in terms of food, but there was always a place at the table. There was always a place for anybody to come to our home. And that's why I love this verse. In my Father's house, there is room. In my Father's house, there is room for everybody in this world. There's a place for you. There's a place for your family. There's a place for the whole world. A place for the whole world. I remember so keenly, many years ago when we launched Project Rescue, and we opened our first home for AIDS children. Children are HIV positive. Opened a special home just for them. It was my favorite place. And I would go to that home in Bombay. And a little girl would open the door and say, welcome, Uncle. Let me show you my place. And she would take me by the hand and take me to her cot and say, this is my place, Uncle. This is my bed. Nobody sleeps here but me. This is my place. Then she would open a little cupboard and say, "Uncle, this is where I keep my stuff. This is my place for my stuff." And I would stand there and watch the joy on her face and think, a few months ago, she was sleeping under her mother's cot in the brothel. While her mother entertained customers, the little girl would be under the cot, making sure she didn't make any noise or make any trouble. And now she was given to us. And now she was in a place where we could help her medically, spiritually, emotionally, and seeing God do miracles in her heart and life. We've had many of the little girls who have been healed, but not all of them, and I don't understand. Some of them have gone on to glory, but most of them are still with us. And to see the joy in their face that I am not rejected because I'm HIV positive. I am not. In fact, we've started our own school for the hundreds of children in our Bombay home because the public schools were a little bit reluctant. These are children out of the brothels. These are children that many of them have got not communicable, but difficult physical challenges. So we said, we will make a place. So we created our own school where they will be accepted and find a place. I am so concerned about a place that God has for all of us. Let not your hearts be troubled. I go, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. You are not without a future. You're not without a place, even right now. Your place right now is in the family of God. It is not a geographical place. It's a relational place. You are part of the family. And part of that is joy and responsibility. Because being part of the family requires an investment on your part to really carry your part. You're part of the family. The second thing is you're part of this church, the visible body of Christ. You are part of a generous, growing, miraculous, believing body of believers. You're not only part of the family, you're part of the church that Jesus gave his life for. Hallelujah. You belong. You're here. But you're also responsible and a part of joy. A place. A place in the family. A place in the ministry. The church is not just a place you come and receive. It's a place you come and serve. We are part of the responsible people that make this kingdom of God go forward. Hallelujah. We often in missions conventions have what we call faith promises, where you say, this is what I believe God wants to do through me in the next year for missions. My favorite faith promise was a little 5-year-old girl who wrote on her faith promise, 25 cents a week, and she wrote beside it, my daddy will pay this for me. And I thought, honey, you have captured the essence of missions. This is my father's world. This is my father's business. And my father's heart is summed up in one verse. He is not willing that any should perish. He is not willing. And if my father's not willing and I'm his son, I share the same philosophy. None of us are willing that any should perish. And when I went to India 47 years ago, I was 22 years old, and I landed in Calcutta, and there were 9 million Bangladeshi refugees in that city. 3 million Bangladeshis had been murdered in their civil war in 1969. 1 million Bangladeshi women were raped. children were murdered. 9 million refugees. And our church in Calcutta was feeding 50,000 children a day. That's what I found when I landed in Calcutta, India, 47 years ago. And I watched missionary Mark Buntain, with incredible compassion God gave him, who believed that there was room in God's house for everybody. Room and food enough to go around. And I realized that there's no scarcity in God's kingdom. The Father cares, and He is a provider. We had the joy of being friends with Mother Teresa. And when Beth and I married and our little girls came along, Beth would take them over to Mother Teresa's. And when our younger daughter Jennifer graduated from nursing school at Evangel University, she went back to Calcutta to work in that home for a short time. And someday we'll tell you more about her experiences in Mother Teresa's home for the destitute and dying. Our older daughter became involved with Project Rescue in the early days when we first launched it. When we first launched it in Bombay, she was 16 years old. And I remember one of the first nights in the apartment we had rented as a shelter in Bombay. And here's our 16-year-old daughter who is about to give a devotional to a dozen young girls who have been rescued. And there was a little 16-year-old girl who was brought in that day, straight out of the brothel, her first day. She was 16. She came out of violence, sexual abuse, 16 years old. And here's our 16-year-old daughter seated just next to her. And tears came to my eyes as I thought, Father, thank you for this new 16-year-old girl. But here's my daughter, and here's a daughter right out of darkness. Give her a miracle in Jesus' name. And we have seen thousands of children and young women rescued and restored and redeemed. When she graduated from Evangel with a degree in education and theater, she went on to do a master's degree in using theater as therapy for abused children, and went to India at 24 years of age to teach theater, music, art, and dancing by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live and work in brothels for the next 4 years, or in homes where the girls had been brought out of brothels, to deal with little girls who often would wake up in the middle of the night screaming with nightmares. Night terrors, demonic powers still troubling these little girls, and to see God deliver them and bring them to a place of peace, a place of healing, a place where they suddenly felt, where they slowly began to feel comfortable, a place of safety, a place of new beginnings, a place where God could do miracles in their lives. 4 years later, she came back and married a young Kaiapa person, a minister, and they went back to India with our first grandchild, and now they have two children. And wow, how God has worked to give a place. And then our younger daughter, Jennifer, came back to Springfield and became a nurse and became director of nursing at a facility. And was doing extremely well. And then 6 months ago, our administrator for Project Rescue retired. And Jennifer came to her mother and said, the Lord has spoke to me to resign my job and to join Project Rescue. I know that my salary will be less than a third of what I make, but God has called me. And she is now our administrator for Project Rescue. Her husband, Jonathan, who came from Boston originally, was a pro baseball player for 5 years. And then he came and said, I think it's time for me to help start a Project Rescue Foundation 7 years ago. And he did. And that has been a miraculous investment in the girls around the world that have been rescued. So we are grateful for both of our daughters on this Mother's Day weekend, and grateful for both of our son-in-laws, and grateful for our four grandchildren. And they've all found a place of involvement, investment, a place that is so critical. What is our place? And I want to digress for just a moment to the Old Testament and say that as I search the Old Testament, I hear it talks about we're supposed to weep between the porch and the altar for God to bring revival back to the church. Our place is often to be on our face before God. Our place is to be so broken and hungry for God that nothing else matters. Where is my place? And sometimes I want to shout, on my face before God. Where is my place? On my knees, or standing with my hands raised. That's my place of worship, my place of intercession, and financially, my place of investment. What is mine is not mine. It's God's. It's my Father's world and my Father's business. I was 12 when Charles Greenaway came to our great AGWM person in Africa who came to our church, my dad's church. And he told of a 12-year-old boy who had no money to put in the missionary offering. And when they passed the offering pan, this 12-year-old boy took the offering pan and the missions offering at the end of the service. And he said, Jesus, I don't have any money, but you can have me. I'm all I got, but you can have me. And he laid the offering pan on the floor and stood up in it. And Brother Greenaway said that was the greatest offering we ever received. A 12-year-old boy standing in an offering plate. And my goal tonight is to say, I want the Holy Spirit to help us find our place. And for some of us, that place is in the offering pan. For some of us, it's not our check or our cash or our text message, but it's us. That God wants us to step into the offering plate and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. There's a song called Submission that I remember from childhood. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord will choose for me. So let him bid me go or stay. Submission to his will. I believe that tonight the Holy Spirit would put an offering pan in front of you and say, step in. This is your place. Step in. A place that's on your face before God, a place that God has for you. And as I stand here tonight and think of you, and I think of Project Rescue, I think of a place for a little girl. Somewhere, somehow, a little girl out of the thousands that have come that needs a place. How much does a place cost? $20 a month provides a place in school for a little girl. $20 a month. If you give tonight $20, you'll put a little girl rescued out of a brothel through school for the next month. $100 will put her total expenses, her schooling, her medical care, her food, her room. $100 takes care of a little girl for a month. $1,200 puts one of our girls through college for a year. $60,000 creates a new home of hope. You say that's a huge amount. It's an amazing thing. We have a church in Denver, Colorado called Red Rocks that is now running 6,000 in attendance in multiple sites. And that pastor says we have no property in Denver, but our property is in New Delhi, where we have helped purchase two brothels and turned them into red light district churches. red light district churches where more than just a girl, a whole community is transformed and given a place in the kingdom. Would you lift your hands with mine right now and say, Father, how do you want me to invest? I want a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. And we're lifting our hands and saying, we will prepare a place for a little girl in darkness, for a little boy in darkness. We will help put a church at the doorway to hell. We will put a church in a red light district and say, here is life. Here is joy. Here's a new beginning. Because we not only believe in rescue, we believe in redemption and restoration and a new life. Hallelujah. Take your hand and put it right over your heart and say, now, Lord Jesus, there's a place in my heart just for you. Come right now and fill that place. There's a place for you in my heart on this Mother's Day weekend. Join with me and lift your hand again and say, Father, I pray a blessing on our church this weekend. That this Mother's Day weekend, many will find Jesus because of our prayers. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for millions of little girls around the world that are caught in sexual slavery. Give us the passion to see the miraculous and give them a place. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and give Him praise as our musicians play. Pastor, come. God bless you right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me add that there's three books at the back table. One is called Beyond the Soil Curtain. It's the story of the girls rescued. Another one is Beyond the Shame, Project Rescue's Fight to Restore Dignity to the Victims of Sexual Slavery. And third one is Courageous Compassion. They're on the table there along with prayer cards. Please go to the table and pick something up as you leave tonight. You have a place in heaven. You have a place in this church. You have a place in God's business. It's not His world. It's His that He has also passed on to us and said, my world is your world. My business is your business. Hallelujah.
Come on, can we just express our appreciation to Pastor David for that word this morning, this evening?